Tonight on Life on the Rock, we have Catherine Cheney, part two. She'll give a reflection and much more. Welcome to Life on the Rock. Tonight, our guest is Catherine Cheney. She's the director of City on a Hill, and this is our second part of a two-part show. So she's continuing her story and the specific work of City on the Hill we're going to talk about this week. Now we're going to go to a video reflection with Catherine Cheney.
It's so fascinating to me that, you know, sin is boring, you know, as people like actually embrace conversion and grow in holiness, how much more unique and how much more themselves they become. It's kind of like sin actually distracts from and covers up the unique beauty of each person, you know, and as we grow closer to Christ, as he transforms us and we're united with him, we get to experience being truly alive. You know, when Jesus says he's the life, that takes a unique form in each person, each member of the mystical body. So it's fascinating to me that you can have saints who were totally laid back and were not really noticed much by their peers. You also can have a Mother Angelica who could tell it like it was, make sarcastic jokes, and really like set the world around her on fire. And there's not one way, you know, to live holiness. You know, each one of us is going to bring such a unique dimension of beauty to our experience of heaven when you think that each one of us shows forth the glory of God in a different, unique way. And how much is lacking if one of us is missing? That really struck me that in eternity, we're going to delight in every person's holiness around us. And how much more would we desire holiness if we knew that we are so uniquely desired, so uniquely loved and delighted in, that God has a particular holiness for us that the world would miss out on if we did not live up to it.
Welcome back to Life on the Rock.
Good to see you, Father.
We ended our conversation last week on the cusp of talking about how you all form leaders. And you said that's the heart of what City on the Hill does. Tell us about that formation.
So these about 100 or so young adult leaders, they have different roles. They might be small group leaders. They might be hospitality team. They might be on the board for Catholic Challenge Sports. They could be hosts of our Connect KC small gatherings. Whatever they are, they're part of this apostolate of trying to reach the young adults in our city for Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And so in order to prepare them for that role and in order to really have them understand that what they're doing is apostolate. You know, anybody can host a nice event. Like, you cannot know Christ and have an amazing pizza and beer event at the brewery. But what makes us different is that we're doing apostolate, which is rooted in God's work in our lives. So we try to especially focus on prayer life and especially on intercessory prayer and fasting for our apostolate. And also on the basics of relational outreach, of building a rule of life, which is practical ways to consistently pursue holiness throughout your day-to-day life. And that's huge. The more concrete and practical and daily these habits are, the better, you know? So that's really our approach in broad terms.
Let's talk about the prayer life piece. I know it's going to look different for a married person, but there are so many single people out there. What do you all teach about the prayer life of a single person?
We teach consistency is the most important thing, that you really have to have a time and space carved out for prayer, and that it's essentially this encounter with Christ. We teach people how to pray with scripture, particularly mental prayer, Lectio Divina, whatever you want to call it. And specifically in our small groups, that's also a big focus. But I love that our launch retreat at the beginning of the year kicks off with silence, particularly, and an emphasis on the importance of silence. That silent retreat is about half of the time spent on our retreat before the City on a Hill year kicks off. Mm. We're all so busy and distracted, we need to remember the one thing necessary and to carve out the space for it. So that's one of our main emphases there.
So practically, like for a young adult, turning off all the connectivity, right? being plugged in here and there and make some space for God. Yeah. What does holiness look like for a layperson? We have a lot of writers and things that talk about religious life. You're living as a monk or nun or something. But a guy in the world, say, he's got the world's not helping him to be holy in many ways, right? They're getting bad messages. What does that spirituality holiness look like?
Yeah, so what's so beautiful about lay holiness is that there's general principles, which I'll get into in a minute, but you can't do it justice in this amount of time, but it's also beautiful how unique the role of each lay person is, that God has placed each person in the body of Christ in a particular way, in the world, in a particular way at a particular time to reach certain people and certain aspects of the world for him. Mm. And so that uniqueness is a difference from religious life and the priesthood, where your place, so to speak, is given to you. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more similar to the place of others in that state in life.
Right.
Whereas when you're a lay person, you have to figure out, I have these puzzle pieces of the path to holiness, you know, like I know I need to commit to daily prayer. I need to frequent the sacraments. I need to invest in my own ongoing formation. I need to be living apostolically. I need to have these elements ongoing in my life, ongoing conversion. I need to have growth in virtue and ongoing detachment and mortification, whether that's fasting from food or some other sacrifice. If I just build those building blocks into my life is still going to look different than the lay person next to me, because we both have a unique role that we're living out in the body of Christ.
Right.
And another piece of that spirituality is that we're in the world, and so we kind of have to embrace the fact that that's our home. The world is our home as laity, where we have to bring that home to Christ and renew it from within.
And I think that's a great point too, is even within religious life, you know, different apostles, like different orders have, they adjust their horarium and things, how they pray maybe according to that kind of work they're doing. So even more so with the lay life, it's so varied there. What about the relational, because, you know, you emphasize there's this outreach part and, you know, this apostolic life and then reaching out in a devotional life, a personal life, prayer life. What about the relational outreach? What do you all teach young adults about that?
We teach that you have to encounter Christ in the people that are coming to you. And that's different from hospitality, from a more secular approach to the really Christian approach, is seeing Christ there in your neighbor, in the guest who's coming, no matter how that neighbor presents. You know, it may be somebody who's a little bit more difficult to talk to, or the person might not know anybody yet. And to remember that you may not be the end-all be-all for this person. Like, you may not talk to them past 30 seconds, but how can you love them in the 30 seconds that they're in your presence? Right. So
I like those two pillars you have, the formation, like, so young person coming to City on the Hill, they're receiving formation. There's also this emphasis on outreach, kind of the apostolate, the evangelization together. And I love that too, because that itself is formational for us.
Yes.
Right? If we're adjusting ourselves to the needs of others, thinking of someone else, that's a mature spirituality, a mature personality, you know, to be caring about the other.
And it's huge that, you know, we receive so much in our childhood and as teenagers, et cetera. But at some point, we have to see that, oh, God has a plan. He's been forming me and he'll continue to form me, but he's also calling me to give out in a way now, mm-hmm. whether that's through my vocation, various people I'm meeting, through my workplace. I can bring it all to the Lord and he can use me to reach the world for him. So.
And John Paul II, you know, when he started World Youth Days, he saw that young people are the primary protagonist of evangelizing other young people. So I love that about City on the Hill. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about some more of the apostolic formation that happens at City on the Hill. Catherine, there is a lot of stuff going on at City on the Hill. You'll have mission trips to Guatemala.
Yeah.
You have hiking trips to Colorado. You have adoration excursions, maybe, am I coining a new phrase? But you go to different places, different churches for Mass and adoration.
Well, we do this big adoration night every other month at a different church around the city. And that's a really beautiful moment. We've heard of just... We probably don't hear of all the stories, but we've heard stories of grace and conversion at that event where Jesus is held in the Eucharist and there's a procession throughout the church and it's all done by candlelight with contemplative praise music. And the hospitality team is out there to welcome young adults. And there's confession offered. So it's a beautiful opportunity really for young adults to come back to Christ. We see that as a main role of that event.
And that's beautiful too. Like you have a place that's got some Catholicism in a big city, been there for decades. You can have these nice churches to use that facility, right? You go out and invite people to join just from the street, right? Into adoration.
The beautiful thing is, you know, we've been around for 17 years, but at this point in our history, we're pretty much word of mouth marketed a lot. And that's really helpful for young adults who, you know, are moving to the city, don't have a connection yet. Young adults who, you know, maybe that they're looking for community. This is the where they go. Mm-hmm. And so we hope that, you know, through these various avenues, through the social events, through someone inviting their coworker to a sports league, that people end up coming to these adoration nights and having an encounter with Christ.
Right.
So.
And part of the formation at City on the Hill, you all have an apostolic life courses, like a 12-week course. Tell us about that.
So.
Or 13 weeks.
it's a really cool course. I love it because it's not really for City on a Hill leaders like some of our other formation. It's only for 12 people, it's application only. And in this 13-week course, they're introduced to both practically and intellectually to what does it mean to be a lay apostle, starting with the Trinity and grace, where's my role in the church as a lay person, all the way to how do I discern the apostolates that I involve myself in, and what does it mean to participate well and fruitfully in apostolic work. So whatever that is, it could be at your gym that you're going to anyway. It could be your neighbors. It could be your family. It could be through your job. And there's opportunities for apostolate everywhere. So it's a really beautiful course.
Is there something, when you teach that course, is there a certain theme or something that really maybe surprises people or something that they grab hold of that you've seen?
It seems, so we're just piloting it now, and it's going to be probably at the heart of everything we offer in City on a Hill. And right now, it seems like the piece of the formation that has struck people the most, and it actually seems to be the most important in other venues where we've taught this as well, is where the lay person is called to serve. You know, we think of the parish as, you know, where the church is, but it's so powerful for young adults to also see, oh, where I am in the world, I am living as the body of Christ, and I need to find my role and my holiness and my apostolate out there, and be fed within the visible church in my neighborhood, but then also go out and live it there as well. And people are surprised by that.
Yeah.
So
I remember being in seminary, and we have a class on the church, ecclesiology, and that you could just see like the excitement for the seminarians to realize what the church is.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that would be also exciting for lay people, but also just to realize, hey, you have a mission. I mean, you're going to go out and sanctify the temporal sphere, which is in need of sanctification, I think, by all accounts, right? So if you don't do that, there'll be something lacking, right?
And obviously, like, young adults aren't going to be in city on a hill forever. Mm-hmm. The whole rest of their life, there's going to be myriad opportunities for apostolate. Mm-hmm. And so how exciting to realize that you specifically are never lacking meaning or mission in your life, whether that's, you know, suffering, whether that's, like, through your work, whether that's through your vocation. It's endless opportunities for holiness.
And I think, you know, it is such a struggle for meaning and purpose. And at the heart of it, we're called to belong to Jesus, have a relationship with him, but also he sends us into that vineyard, right? In that parable, the vineyard owner comes through several times, you know, during the day, you too go in my vineyard. And that's addressed, John Paul II said that's particular for the lay faithful. And you all are thinking big, right? You're thinking expansion. Tell us about that.
Even just saying it aloud, it's, wow, this is something that the Holy Spirit is clearly leading because, you know, we love Kansas City, and that's really, you know, where we're serving right now, but we also have made the decision to follow the Holy Spirit's lead to discern where do we expand to next. And that question of expansion, we've realized the Holy Spirit's calling us to do it in the near future. So it's really exciting to gear up for that and to approach that hopefully in a very discerning and prayerful way.
Because you're a nonprofit, are you officially connected to a diocese or?
We have the blessing of both dioceses and work with both bishops in our city, but we are independent. So as a lay apostolate, a nonprofit, we really have the ability to expand where we're wanted and desired by the local bishop, and where young adults really want to take on that call to help build an outreach in their city. So
maybe you give us the website. How could people find out more about you?
Yeah, it's kansascityonahill.org. So if you check us out, if you're interested in learning more, I'm happy to chat. And hopefully, as the Lord continues to lead us, he'll also build opportunities for even more innovation. I think the Holy Spirit's work is always so creative, and he raises up the saints and movements needed for our time. And I see City on a Hill as one of those that's really needed in our time.
Well, Catherine, we'll close with a nice story. Tell us about a person maybe you've seen really take hold of this material and grow.
Well, every story is unique, so I'll just share two quick ones that show different aspects. One guy who was recently involved ended up in leadership. He really embraced all the formation we had. He started inviting and evangelizing all of his non-Catholic friends and coworkers, his barber, to come to City on a Hill events before he entered seminary himself in the fall, and really just took his formation and made that a path to seminary. Another story I heard of recently is a girl who moved to the area and got involved with Catholic Challenge Sports, not Catholic, and entered the church a year or two ago. So those are just two stories, but whatever the story, it's beautiful to see that God brings that fruit.
Right. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Father.
I enjoyed talking with Catherine. She's very well spoken, very precise in her language. It was refreshing to hear that, and it's invigorating, isn't it? I mean, we all have a mission. We're to go into that world, right, and evangelize the lay faithful, especially sanctify the temporal order. And I love those emphasis on from City on the Hill. You have the formation part and you have the outreach. You need both. We can't give what we don't possess. So we ourselves need to be praying, informed, and living a sacramental life, learning about our faith, growing in our prayer life, meditation on the scripture, and outreach, to be creative, to follow the Holy Spirit. How are we going to bring others to Christ? So they have a lot of social activities. They have religious activities that they did, even mission trips, retreats, you know, talks given to their community. They might go to, you know, like a theology on tap, so to speak, at a local brewery and have a social time after, have the adoration at a church, invite others to come with them. Those are beautiful and great elements. And just to get young adults to focus and to contemplate, what does holiness look like? I'm not called to live as a monk or a religious, so to speak. I'm living in the world. What does that look like? How do I have this prayer life, this detachment, this time of silence, this fellowship that we so need? You know, in so many ways, our young people can be cut loose and just sort of drifting without purpose or meaning. The gospel speaks into that. It has a purpose. It has a meaning. We belong to Jesus Christ. We're seeking to do his will. We're called to bring others into that kingdom. So I want to give you a blessing that you may be inspired where you are at, where you live, to do the same. May our Heavenly Father shine his face upon you. May he give you his peace. May Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next week on Life on the Rock.
There is a harbor for those in need of safety. A place where we can rest. There is a Father who left his throne above to find this wayward soul. I'm drawing closer into the heart of mercy that bore my shame and broke my chains at Calvary. Thy love poured out and saved by grace, you lead me home. Into the heart of God, into the heart of mercy.
I run to you, your arms are open wide. Forgiven, forgiven and set free. I'll follow you, for you have made a way to mend. Into the heart of mercy.
Calvary, thy love poured out and saved by grace, you lead me home to the heart of God, into the